This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuck boy. The number one fuck boy. The number one fuck boy. Fuck boy. Number one cuck boy, maybe? You tell me, honey. I'll fuck you in front of your wife. I mean, fuck your wife in front of you. Oh, shit. Joining me, as always, in the High and Mighty Studios is my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Arthur, say what's up. He's actually having a rough time because the cleaning lady is vacuuming. Turns out, all dogs hate that noise. Also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios for the first time is my friend, comedian, hilarious dude. I would say arguably a physical specimen on stage. A lot like a true physical beast and a podcaster from Last Podcast on the Left. Give it up. I'm saying give it up like it's a live show. Get it up. Oh, we are performing live for 11 people in my studio
It is hot in here.
Henry Zebrowski.
What's going on, dude? You shitheads. What's going on, you fucking shitheads? I can do that?
Yep. Go ahead. The listeners are called shitheads.
You are shitheads.
I have no idea how that came about.
Yeah, I do like that. It's organic.
I think when I was trying to do stand-up for a bit, I would come out and say, what's up, shitheads, to try to then dig myself out of the hole.
As for me to
be like, I'm not good at stand-up. I'm like, what would make it fun? Oh, a challenge.
Yeah, so I started doing that immediately.
Oh, this is a terrible
idea. You fucking hogs.
You fucking losers.
Put your hooves together. Can't believe you got out of the house, you bedridden, canker sword pieces of shit.
All right, someone flip this fat fuck with a spatula. It's not, he's getting fucking sword up on one side. Guys, we're going to be talking about all the stuff that Henry's an expert in, which is conspiracies and whatnot.
It's weird that, honestly, after years of doing the show, it's like the Last Podcast Left, and I've been going for 7 years. It's like, I am an expert.
Right. You were like a fan or a hobbyist or a curious a knowledge seeker, and now you are officially spreading it. Like, people are getting into that world because of you.
I'm officially an investigator for MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network. That is true. I'm a VIP level. I'm in there. I have not received my polo yet, which makes me pretty upset.
This is fucking wild.
Yeah, it is. Just it's a ragtag group of people. They accepted my money gladly, but the UFO investigators are really difficult to get along with. They're very private. They're always divorced. No relationship lasts as soon as you decide to make a professional life of studying UFOs.
That's so wild.
It's really fucked up. But yes, but unfortunately, it's weird because you could just become an expert in essentially bullshit just by reading about it for years.
Right, because it is one of those things where it's like, there is no, like, textbook about paranormal shit.
You say, like, Behold a Pale Horse is a textbook, or The Biggest Secret by David Icke is a textbook, but then essentially you're an anti-Semite. But that's just because of how it works out. But he's not talking about Jews. David Icke is not talking about Jews. He's talking about 9-foot reptilians. It's not a metaphor. I have to keep telling this to people. He says,
I put it this way. If you have to defend a book like that, maybe it's not the best book to read.
It is very difficult.
If you have to say, like, no, it's not anti-Semitic. What are we doing here?
He had a hard time getting into Canada.
I bet.
David Icke, he puts on 12-hour shows where he talks about the reptilian infiltration of the government, the entertainment industry, basically because the entertainment industry is the mouthpiece of the government. It's shapeshifters. Hillary Clinton is a puppet with, like, you had reptilians. But, like, unfortunately, Donald Trump is human. That's why the part of the problems that we're having is that a human being, he's outside of the network. That's why they have gigantic pools of children that they murder and torture and rape, because they get all the evil energy out of them, and they use that to create better shows. Young Sheldon was made by some of these very elite reptilians.
That's really funny to find out. Like, you literally have the power to create things, and you make Young Sheldon.
That's what you chose.
And then you're like, wait, I thought you guys were all powerful.
Bazinga will finally open the gates of the pyramids.
Oh, dude, you said like 15 keywords or buzzwords or vocab words in that rant that I've Anthony Atamanik from The President Show, he always comes on to talk conspiracies. We just get super baked and he screams at me for an hour. Yes. And I kind of interject with, like, but wait.
It's like, shut up. The burden of proof is on you. And you have to start screaming. Who benefits? Well, Anthony Atamanik, it's like, what I will always love about him is that every time I see him, he has not changed one bit. He always goes at me with conspiracy theories. We had a long conversation about the Trilateral Commission. Last time I talked to him, right before Trump won, he's in full Trump regalia. He's off stage. He rips the wig off of his head. He's like, I can't fucking wait to stop doing this. And I was like, I don't know. I was like, I don't know, bud. And he was just like, you got to understand, this has been a long call. This is Henry Kissinger's doing. We talk about the hypernormalization, which is like basically talking about this has all been in the works since the 1950s. Not the weird populist movements happening in the United States of America.
Yeah.
And it's just, God, it's grim. But that's a problem with conspiracy theory. It's grim.
I said to him, I've never been more excited for someone to get a job that I don't want to last more than 4 years.
Yeah, like, I mean, that show is just perfect, though.
It's so great.
It's perfect.
So fucking. But let's talk. Fuck reading 5-star reviews. Let's get into, because now I'm all heated up and I'm.
Oh, do you want to do that first?
No. Let's not even worry about it. Let's just get in, because now I'm all fucking. You got me all amped up. When you said Trilateral Commission, what is that in reference to?
Oh, God. It's a part of a... this is a problem. So you want to make sure you get the details without sounding like an idiot. I'm not like Alex Jones. Alex Jones has a photographic memory for some of this bullshit, which I don't understand, because he can't remember his children's birthdays.
No one on High and Mighty has ever considered an expert. Almost no one's ever been considered like knowing a thing. So yes. Don't worry about it. We've had people on here. So speak at like... And you don't have to worry. Don't get yourself bogged. I know, as someone who... on their podcast has to, like, you know, or wants to do hours on this one thing.
This is hours of this. Well, the Trilateral Commission was one of those weird, nebulous U.S. think tanks that was put together in the 50s. And a part of the idea was kind of create this, the concept was to create a... essentially a world government that was a cooperation between...
My dog is licking the shit out of Henry's ass.
Art, sucking on my knees like she's Kathy Bates. Sucking so
disjointed. Trilateral Commission basically said that what we were going to do is create a super agreement between... And this is Kissinger's idea as well. We're going to take a super agreement between U.S., the Chinese and the Russians, and essentially we're going to handle the whole world together. Like, we're just going to work as a team, and that's the idea of the NWO kind of comes out of that, which is the idea that these three countries would kind of run. And we're in there, so we're good because we're a part of it. But a part of it's kind of how it's been breaking down, and it's kind of just not working with how the world's working. And hypernormalization really goes into that. There's a great
documentary, right? Because I've been recommended that before.
It's pretty sweet. It's 3 hours long. And it's fucking brutal, but it's basically about how, like, what's his name, Muammar Gaddafi, that guy that from was it Libya?
Yeah,
he was basically took on the role of being a villain, and even though he was just never actually a villain, it's kind of like with a little bit what's happened with North Korea right now. Like, they are playing up the villain role because they know how difficult it will be for us to carpet bomb them, even though actually it's very easy.
Right.
But it's like a thing where they're playing it up. They're taking the role. Because
For what reason? For us to have something to, worry about or to blame that doesn't
always
really, while we're being fucking.
Donald Trump couldn't want a nuclear bomb to hit Los Angeles harder. Like, he wants it so fucking bad.
That's what terrifies me. Is that like? So it's hard to not talk about conspiracies in our and not bring up the current
because
climate.
We have our president's a conspiracy theorist.
Right,
he is a part. He's leading the like. Technically, it's been a great time for me.
Right,
content wise, like, it has been a great time.
Yeah,
for
as a matter of fact, a lot of people were like, comedy's going to be great under Trump, and it's more specifically like
the worst shit.
Your podcast and Anthony's show are like the most blossoming off that show.
It's starting to happen. It's been great for us.
I mean, he is one of those dudes who believes all like email forward. Words and shit like that, you know?
Oh yeah. And I think that there's it is scary. Like, I think with LA, it's like it's mostly just they don't understand. It's like Dick Cheney wanted a 9/11 to happen so that they could use it to get into the Middle East, but he waited for it for 45 years. Yeah. He's been in the White House for a long fucking time, and he was a part of several think tanks that were like, it will happen eventually. We will get the disaster we need to get the mandate that we need to have full control over the government.
And to get into the Middle East and then start making money.
And what the infrastructure is, and basically the kind of idea of being like, we'll just have our fingers in oil forever. Donald Trump is a fucking moron. Like, he's not a... that's the other thing, too. He's not playing 4D chess. He's not some kind of fucking... he's not some... evil genius.
Yeah, he's playing fucking skee ball.
Yes, exactly. He's just
and he's
like,
losing.
It's him like, I found a $20 bill on the street. Like, that's how he views all of this shit. Where it's like, it's some weird ass quick cash grab. But I think that the conspiracy theory is more about like, it's not like Byzantine evil men coming up with plans. It's all about money, right? It's all about
Even like all the popular conspiracies, or you know, the more like the lizard one, like the lizard people one, Illuminati, all that stuff. It's weird that it is money and political power to just get more money.
Well, part
and
of
it's like maybe Ike. What's his name again? David Icke. Maybe Icke is onto something, and maybe it's not truly lizards, but it is a cabal of people who are like, let's just keep getting richer and not let, you know, let's just keep making poor white people hate poor black people, and we can fucking make money forever and never lose power.
Well, you know, and then you have this sort of, there's this gigantic kind of thing happening right now between marketing companies and PR companies and how they're connected to. Marketing companies are connected to the entertainment industry. They're running the entire, they're running everything. PR and marketing are running everything. They're connecting political identities to the shit you buy by basically looking at the metadata of all the stuff that we're constantly tailed with by our iPhones and our fucking computers, and how they amass all of this, like our search histories and our purchasing histories and all stuff, and they connect it to our politics, and they're figuring out exactly how to motivate us in a way like we're fucking like dogs.
Yeah.
And we're like pigs in a corral.
It's like, all right, you liberal almond butter purchaser.
We know exactly how to get you. Yeah. Whole Foods. No, Whole Foods been bought by Amazon. Like, all these things are coming together. It's like they're already slashing all these prices, and we're all acting like it's a big good deal. But then what's going to happen to the people that work for Whole Foods? And then once food starts getting delivered by drones, right? It's like, and then we have drones everywhere.
We have no more truck drivers. We have no more people working.
That was in Logan.
Oh, yeah.
That was sweet. Did you see Logan?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
But with the automatic trucks?
Oh, it's
fucking... I was like, that was cool as fuck. Yeah. I just watched Logan. I slept on it, which made me sad. It made me cry.
I teared up too, dude.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackman is great.
He's really a good actor. He is the...
He needs another fucking swing at a solid movie.
I think that he'll have it after this. Yeah. I don't think it comes out. That was fucking so... He's so emotional.
I felt it.
He just thinks of his strain of having to kiss that wife of his every night, and he just tosses and turns to anguish. He's just so sick of it. She's in the seventh bedroom of his massive mansion. Yeah.
Like, my dream in life, and this is so weird to come from an area of being a heterosexual male, is like for all these closeted actors and athletes to just come out.
Do it.
I just want everyone to be, for one, for the normal reason of like, I want them to be able to be comfortable with themselves.
Yeah.
But also, I just want for fucking every fucking guy, lunatic who loves Top Gun to find out every asshole homophobic Top Gun lover is like, that dude sucked Val Kilmer's dick.
He sucked his dick and he loved it. And he's the manliest man you've ever seen. That's Wolverine.
Yeah,
that's Wolverine. All he does is fucking make sweet love to other writhing men. And he fucking loves it.
In a pilot I did, we had the joke where I said, I want something. I don't want to just fuck her. I want a real relationship, like Hugh Jackman and his fat wife. And then my Betsy Sodaro goes, "That's not nice." I go, "No, I'm the fat wife.
I'm the fat wife." That's fucking hilarious.
Yeah. Fuck, man. Logan and automated trucks, all that shit. People just who's gonna lose those jobs? The people who drive trucks.
The people who's gonna
who's gonna stay in their jobs? People who fucking sit at their computer, or people who hire people are gonna say like, oh, it costs me if it costs them $8 an hour to hire a truck driver, and it costs them $7.98 to have an automated truck,
you're done.
You're done. That's it. They'll fucking put an extra dollar in their pocket and shatter a whole family.
Fucking corporations. It's true. Corporations run everything right now. Everything is consolidating. Oh yeah, of course they're consolidating. Of course, why not? That's the NWO. That's the whole thing. All of the conspiracy theories, the idea about like the UN coming and taking over and shock troops being everywhere and all that shit. That's just not gonna happen. It's happening like this. It's gonna happen once net neutrality, once that's gone, and you have like all this kind of shit happening where it's like they own the internet, which is how we fucking communicate truly openly, and then they're gonna own all the things we buy, the way we shop, where we can live. All of a sudden everything's gonna be massive condos.
We're heading towards Judgment Day.
Yes. Which is kind of cool if you are good at it. Right? You know what I mean? And again, we're sovereign people, a part of the please reptilians fucking choose me this pilot season. I just want the reptilians to choose me this pilot season. I'll do whatever they want. I'll live in a cage. I'll suck out of one of those little water bottles.
It's so sad how I'm like, I'll do Scientology.
Like, put the cedar chips down. Put the cedar chips down. I'll sit there with my salt lick and just be like, thank you, Tom.
Yeah. I want anything I can. I said the other day, I was like, we can't have a nuclear holocaust. I'm literally about to pop career-wise.
I am really doing it. So I'm really cooking.
I'm like, I've been working at it for 10 years. I can finally have something, please.
I love my apartment.
Right.
I can't lose it now.
I don't even want to move, no less deal with DEFCON 1 war.
Please, man, you know, that's just, again, it's just how they're gonna. We've just been railroaded. It's been happening for a long ass time, and we're giving over to the keys.
Yeah, and
we're doing the whole thing. We're giving
like
it to
Kraft,
them.
Amazon, Netflix. Like, eventually, it's gonna be like 9 companies, like a tribunal that own everything. And it's like,
oh yeah. And I mean, I'm to blame. I got my Nike shoe on made by incredible children. I've got, you know, like, I try to buy different stuff. Like, I try to buy, but I got a fucking iPhone. We're all implicit,
right? Well, an iPhone is cool. It's good to have.
It did good. Yeah. And Google Maps does stuff like, it's scary, but it remembers like where I go certain times, and it gives me good places to go, and it recommends me stuff. I bought that Quip, what's it, the fucking that toothbrush from Instagram.
Did you? You bought the Instagram toothbrush?
Yes, I did.
And you like it?
Yeah.
It's fun. It's crazy. It's terrifying. Well, like, and then the real scary shit with that is, like, you hear, like, my wife's like, I never even bought anything like this, but I think I talked about it on the phone.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
It's like, wait a minute. No, that's
happened.
A line cross.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was looking up, I forget exactly what I was looking up, but it showed up on my girlfriend's computer in a Google, like one of those Google searches. I was talking about it
thick,
in the living
thick
room.
Thick Latinas?
Yes. Henry, were you thinking about thick Latinas?
No, babe.
I promise.
I promise never a thousand years.
So you're about like floppy butted, sweet, sweet, thick Latinas. Penis. I just thought about that. Just stop thinking about the war.
Yeah. Well, you know, and we're like complicit. We're allowing it to happen. But here's the other thing about it. I feel like something bad happens, you know, whatever, some minor step where it's like, yeah, they're going to get rid of net neutrality. Everyone's like, this is awful. This is awful. This is awful. Then all of a sudden it's like, there's a flood. Somebody gets killed. This, that, the other thing. It's like, oh. And then meanwhile, they're just like pushing net neutrality like 5 feet. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, like,
don't even think about this. Right. Don't even think about this. Well, it's because it is real. I mean,
you know. I have fatigue of things to be upset about.
Everybody
where I'm just
does.
Like, I know. It's like, I can't fucking deal with this shit.
There's
anymore.
Some people that say that that's a game that the government plays. So they do that on purpose. So the idea is to exhaust us.
Yeah.
Or that was a Roger Stone thing. But I don't even know. I just think that, honestly, it's a part of it. I do feel in one way, shape, or form that the media is complicit. They like the bad news. The bad news gets close.
Oh, and that's what's crazy is because they need to make money, too.
They're all trying to make money because everybody's desperate because of the attack that Trump did onto the press was the best thing that ever happened to the press because it made them heroes again.
Right.
To the 53% of liberals that are in this country, right? Where it's like, it is a very, they are making money off of this. They want to keep you upset.
Right.
Because upset work for everybody. How many stress things have I bought? And it's not even just because I'm upset, because I unfortunately have very few emotions.
Right.
It's like my girlfriend's super upset, and the things that are upset in the house, I have to like deal with, like I'm dealing with my own stress buying. I'm buying dumb shit.
Right.
Like I'm buying stuff. I'm helping the economy. There's a part of me sitting to me like, oh, this is actually good because this is how the economy's supposed to work, supposed to make money and put it back in. I'm like, what am I even saying to myself?
Put it back in but now that we know, like putting money back into the economy, it's not like, and then my neighbors see it. It's like, nope, it goes, it's trickle up.
It's everybody like, else is making money. Nobody, so it's like, so it's a part of what we're trying to do more of, like trying to do more charity work and trying to do more kind of shit directly to people, like with the Houston shit, just you know, like try not to give the Red Cross, you give it to other people, you give it to people local, trying to like really research it, which is kind of weird. We have these side jobs now where I'm doing all this political bullshit that I never did before, and it's not what I'm supposed to do.
I was, yo, just the other day, I was complaining to someone, and this is, I'm not actually complaining about this,
no.
But it's crazy that how much stuff falls on us now.
Oh yeah,
it's like
it's people.
It's
oh,
like,
this is your job now. We're a democracy.
Yeah,
we got to figure out the shit.
It's a weird version of a democracy where it's like, hey, they're gonna do this thing. You need to call every day and save health insurance. And I'm doing it.
I'm doing it.
Right. I'm calling.
I learned my senator's fucking number.
I have it in my phone.
I hate senators.
I don't want to do politics.
I think senators should be put into a boat and sunk in the ocean.
Right.
I think the government, you know what I mean? I would give it all a do-over. I can't say the things that I want to say.
Same
when we're
recording. It's just crazy, too, because because those jobs are good jobs and ways to make money and to lead up to make more money. It's like, that's bullshit that a senator gets to be a fucking like huge awesome job that eventually parlays into more money. Being a juror is like like out takes time out of your day. But name me a senator who sat on jury duty.
These
once.
Fucking pieces of shit. When it comes down to it, too, is that it was never supposed to be a job where you made money.
Right.
You're serving up goddamn people. You're supposed to make nothing. You're supposed to be prostrated and doing work for us. But you know, of course, what we're talking about, because of the election cycle, they're constantly running for election. They can't actually do their jobs. You get gerrymandering that's making everything unfair. Democrats are going to win nothing for right. 10 years.
Before we got on, we were talking about auditioning and the acting life, and we're like, I just want a job where I'm unbroken for like a year. Like I want to work for 6 straight months for once in my entire life. And these guys are dealing with the same shit. They're like, all right, I'm elected. Cool. Well, I better start making sure I keep this job for more than 2 years.
Exactly.
And rather than like, I better start making a change.
Exactly. But it's
much shit. Oh, sorry. Keep going real quick. So much shit falls on us. We have to do that. And it's like, look, I'm all about giving money to charity. But shouldn't there also be something in place to like help Houston outside of like, upper middle class wealthy
funding to FEMA?
Yeah.
He cut funding. He was like, he cut all of this shit. He cut all that money. I mean, it's supposed to retroactively be in effect. Like they had the Obama level money, but they were attacking it. He's cutting it all down because it's just every single thing that Obama did, he's trying to cut down. And Obama didn't even do that much. And he's going at his shit. He did a bunch,
but he didn't do as much as
he could have done because of the situation he was in.
It's okay.
I'm outside of my pay grade immediately.
Me too, because this is where I know. And like the only reason I'm involved in politics, someone said, or I read something somewhere that really hit me, where it was like, if you're saying I don't really get into politics, that is your privilege talking.
Sure.
I have some family members on both sides, mine and my wife's family, who's like, I don't do politics. I'm like, yes, because you are a white person who has a union job as a teacher. You're safe to go. You own a home. You live in, you live on Long Island or you live in New York. You're like, it's okay for you to not care about politics.
We put out 3 hours of content per week, like you do too, right? Yeah. It's just like, I'm putting out content. It's been like, politics is going to get in there. Because it's a part of, like, if I was sitting going like, blah, 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 acting like I couldn't fucking be a part of what was actually going on in the country, I would be tone deaf and I would be a moron. It's also because you have to be a part of what's happening in society. And so that's what we're kind of forced to do, even though I'm still a ham-headed idiot about half this shit.
I know. That's what I feel. I'm like, guys, if I'm trying to do the right thing in politics, if I'm trying to help out, this is the last line of defense. I'm not the guy. I should never be this guy.
Yeah, you don't want me to be this guy.
I'm always like the dude when if we're in a situation and I'm like, guys, I don't know if we should do this. That's the moment I go, wait, why am I that guy?
I should never be this guy.
And why am I being responsible? Oh man, we've gone too far, Ace. And that's what it feels like.
But, you know, conspiracy theory to get back into the subject.
Yeah, let's do it.
It's now been moving all, but now it's permeating everything, right? So Alex Jones, the fact that Alex Jones can call the president is incredible. In terms of like, it's bad, but it's also great.
But the real problem with conspiracies or with Alex Jones and then et al., spread it out however you want, is that there's no repercussions for being wrong either. It all depends on your level of power or whatever. Like,
reality is being fucked with.
Right.
The concept of fake news is a very dangerous thing that is now permeated every level of everything. It's kind of also, but it's the CIA's dream. That's a part of it too, is that they're making, what they're kind of letting it do. Trump is running around like a bull in a china shop, and everybody's looking at him and staring at him and clapping for him or screaming at him and doing all this stuff. And you've got these guys that have been in place since the fucking, they created a secret state in the 60s. When the OSS turns into the CIA and NSA and all stuff, that's a secret government. They do other shit. They do stuff that we don't talk about.
They are secret governments not even in the U.S.
They're everywhere. And they love this shit. They love the dissemination of fake information everywhere because then they can do whatever they want.
Because nothing is believable anymore.
Nothing's real. Because you look at all the stuff. Because what I like about conspiracy theory is I like challenging the known true explanations of things.
Right. I want to know. I want to know what else is possible. How could this... Maybe
what's the funnest version of the truth?
Right, yeah.
Like, what's a fun thing to talk about and think about and play around in your head with? It's, so you could be right or wrong, but I think that there's something about what we are losing a little bit in the country, maybe, and maybe I'm overstepping my bounds, but I do feel that we are losing a little bit of the concept of you can play with an idea and not believe in the idea. Like, you can go and you can play in it and think about it. Like, my job is... As on my podcast, and me as a performer, a lot of times I take the place of the villain, and I think about it in terms of a villain all the time.
People always like I say fucking racy things as like this character Gino Lombardo on Comedy Bang Bang.
Sure,
and people are just like, yeah, this racist, this alt-right guy. I'm like, no,
I'm playing a shithead character. I'm doing a thing.
I'm playing his. I'm saying it's stupid to believe those things.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's the point of going from the inside out, right? It's a Gary Bunda on Pretty Face. It's just like, I'm playing the dumbest person on the face of the planet, so he's going to say dumb shit all the time.
Right.
But it's like, but that's where we're right now is that the critical thought abilities of the country are kind of like really getting fried out.
And it's weirdly because part of it is people have to attach their personality or their humanity or their... sense of self to beliefs.
And you know, so who once did you that? Say advertising companies.
Right.
They tied it all together, being like, well, if you're basically people who love this, who believe
if you
in
like
this,
Coke,
like this.
You're like this. If you like Pepsi, you're like this.
We have been hypnotized. I do fully believe that. I believe that we have been fully hypnotized and we are stuck in it. And it's like, and it's very difficult to break out of it on both sides, which is fucked up. But you know, obviously, but the problem is the one side is so obviously worse than the other side.
I know.
I mean? Just like the Richard Spencer, that whole movement, the whole alt-right movement, it's just so obviously much worse than whatever is happening on the other side. But we are being forced to, by media companies, view them to be exactly the same.
Yeah. Well, this shit, this Antifa shit is...
I just don't understand.
I don't understand. So in my... And here's where I'll go into what I think, some of the conspiracies I think, is like, I think those are fucking alt-right dudes. They're in alt-right fucking masks, God, going like, hey, if I take a swing at another alt-right guy, it sows dissemination in the fucking
it's
ranks
huge
of the liberals. Yeah.
Look at the whole Alex Jones thing, the Jewish were dressed up as Nazis, punching people, like Jewish people would do. Very intense.
Yeah.
It's just a very intense conversation because it really does very, like, because it plays with your emotions. Because you're looking at this thing, like, the idea that these people that are quote-unquote fighting for freedom are fake or paid shills and they're doing all this stuff. It's like, it's very touchy. Because there are a lot of people, right. Because again, we can talk a lot about shit because we're white men. And we can talk about certain things where I am not directly affected by a lot of the things that Trump would want to put into order. Or
as a matter, like, I joke about it on this podcast, but as a matter of fact, like... The tax breaks for I am doing pretty well, and I'm almost undoubtedly going to be doing better in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's fucked up.
It helps me, and I feel like I don't like, and I don't want it.
I was willing to give more money. That was the whole thing where it's like, I'm willing to give more money because I do believe it's fair. I do believe in the concept of governmentized empathy.
Right. Why not? Like, why not throw? I mean, I was like that on a small scale. I was like that when I was first coming up. If I booked something, I'd be like, fuck, I know these five friends are broke. Let's go fucking, drinks are on me. Let's
get
it.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It's a part of what it's taking care of. It's understanding you are a part of a community.
Right.
And I think that's also, you know, we are a part of, if we want to get fucking hooky spooky with it, we are a part of a gigantic living entity. We are the end result of the consciousness of the universe. That is like, that is what we are, as that's what human beings are. That's what consciousness is. And we, the problem is that to understand all that and to truly do that, I got to stop wearing Nike. I got to stop driving my car. I got to stop feeding this thing. Technically, I need to move to Tempe, Arizona. I need to cover myself with fucking turquoise.
Yeah.
And I need to be like, mudada, and like talking at fucking orbs in the sky. That's technically what I'm supposed to do.
I mean, I'm not joking. I fantasize almost daily about being like, I live in Costa Rica and I've never put on shoes.
That's what would be incredible.
And I fucking learned how to make cocktails and I work at a bar.
I teach the children how to wrap bandages.
Right.
But we have to turn this air conditioner on every 15 minutes, you and I, in this room, in order to live.
Yeah, I know. And that's
I will die.
I straight up was like, I never put the air conditioner on during, but I think you and I are both loud enough that if, and shitheads, let me know if the air conditioner is distracting, but I think we are so loud that'll be fine.
That will be drowning. It's called fervent enthusiasm.
Yeah.
I get called that. People say I yell quite a bit, but I just don't understand.
That's what everyone says. I'm like, no, I'm easily excited.
Yes.
That's what I am. Yeah.
That's what we are. I'm so emotional people.
And I tell you what, you like it when you're in person.
Like, in person
when I'm sitting across from you, it's very nice.
We're fun. We're fun people. We're fun to be
people
out.
Like hanging out with us. People like to see us drunk.
It really. Do you get that a lot? Do people want to see you drunk like all the time?
People love. Like, I mean.
I get it a lot too, but it's just being like
my wife's a bit of a party animal too, and people get really excited when we show up to a party, especially now that we're in our mid-30s and live in California where everyone is sort of bumped down a level of partying, and we'll show up and be like, you guys Ubered here? It's like, yeah, we're getting fucking lit.
Yeah,
like,
what would you do? Well, yeah, because it's normally sitting around like guy, someone has like one of those full wine carafes where you pour the whole wine bottle into it so it aerates it. Yeah. Everyone's having like one and it's like a little thing.
It's
and
like, cool. Oh, where are we ordering from? You know,
it's like 9:15. Like, it's getting late. I'm going to get out of here. Where it's like, no, we're pretty, me and my girlfriend pretty much perennials, like staying out till 3 o'clock in the morning,
yeah,
which
we're,
is bad.
We're
is
kind of,
bad.
We've shifted a little bit into partying at home. Like as being in LA and also not knowing that many people that want to go out and get lit.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm the dude who shows up to a party and it's like, I'm 35, but I have 6 joints in my pocket.
Yeah, why wouldn't I? Because it comes down to it, because I can afford it. Because when I was fucking 10 years ago, when everyone else was ready to go, I couldn't do shit. Now I'm ready to go, and I get all the fucking bullshit. I get all the stuff for you know.
I know. I would love to go back to New York again with money at some point and relive like my 20s and be fuck eating rice and beans at Bonita every night for a month. I don't have to do it.
I don't have to eat just a full pound of buttered pasta. Yeah, that's what I used to go through that period of time, or just eat a tuna out of a can.
Oh, I would do mac and cheese with tuna in it, stir it up, and just jam it down. For like, now I do that shit for fun every once in a while. You know what I mean?
Ooh, look.
Look, I'm so stoned. Let's eat tuna noodles.
Yeah, you remember this. Remember how we used to live?
Guys, I have to talk to you about Mack Weldon, and not just because they are a sponsor of this episode of the podcast, but because I absolutely love them. I actually emailed the people at Mack Weldon and said, can you please advertise on my podcast? Because I wear exclusively your products. I wear all my underwear is Mack Weldon. I've now completely replaced. I don't have any. I used to wear Gap boxer briefs and I had a couple of cool pairs and I found myself wearing the shit out of these Mack Weldons. I'm like, fuck it. I'm just going to buy a bunch more. I love their low socks. They don't slip off your feet. You know how like some socks like slip off your feet if they're really low, like they go under your heel and shit like that. And, it's very annoying, and you like, but with these short socks, they stay on, and they look good. They look good. You can barely see them, which is cool. And then if you have them on, you take them off. They're not like weird stretch white. You know, they're cool patterns, whatever. And the Mack Weldon, I'm screaming. I'm like sweating because I'm talking about it so much. But the Mack Weldon sweatpants is another one of my favorite products because A, I love sweatpants, and B, they're not joggers. They're not tapered leg, but they're cut stylishly, so I can wear them on the plane and not look like an absolute scumbag. You look kind of like you're wearing blue slacks or gray slacks, but really you're wearing sweatpants that fit like a glove. And I am 6'2", 300 and something pounds, and I wear double XL. Mack Weldon actually has stuff that fits me. So rarely does cool stuff fit me. And I'm so excited that Mack Weldon. So if you're a fat fuck like me, get yourself some Mack Weldons. Go to MackWeldon.com. You can get 20% off using promo code MIGHTY. And they also have one of those deals where if you buy a pair of underwear, and you can buy one, and if you don't like it, they'll reimburse you and you don't even have to send them back. You get to keep them underwears. All right, guys. Get yourself some Mack Weldons. We like. Are there any newish conspiracies surrounding the? I mean, of course, because we have Alex Jones and stuff. But like, for example, I was saying the other day, I was like, "Is there a conspiracy and that Melania is a KGB agent?"
Oh, the incredible!
I think that she's like a beautiful woman.
Why would she have been like sucking his dick 5 years ago? I feel like she would not have been having sex. I feel like she would be so much fun.
She's a beautiful Russian woman who speaks like 6 languages.
I know that not.
And she has to fucking live with Don. And she stays in New York because she's running a fucking operation out of Trump Tower.
Baron is just covered in mics.
Yeah.
God, let me dye your dye again, Baron. Oh, you're so handsome today. Nothing like your father. Come on. Oh, look, Donald. Your feet are not as red as they were yesterday. Oh, you're so relaxed. Speaking to your child. I mean, I think that would be incredible. I think that I actually,
And then there's like this weird shit, like then
deep state.
Yeah, well, he keeps getting revealed. He keeps getting revealed to be, or his people keep getting more and more revealed to be attached to Russia.
What I
and
think
it reeks
happened.
Of like her slowly getting her hooks in him and going like, "Hey Putin,
you meet my friend here. Look at that Naljetskis. Yeah. You love to watch other people on them. He cannot be on them.
These
He's afraid
two women
of
will urinate on you for free. Welcome to our country.
That's incredible." That's absolutely fantastic.
I think that he was just doing a bunch of... I think I have a scenario in my head that the FBI was working on a bunch of mafia guys, right? And they've been doing this deal. They've been deep up doing some... It was just kind of normal mafia busting shit with U.S. companies. Trump just shows up, right, while they're doing all the shit. And they're all like, okay, he's doing all this stuff. And just starts crookedly doing all this dumb shit about how... Because I think the key that just came out was this whole idea that he's doing some gigantic... complex, some weird living space that's in that these mafia guys are kind of helping him fund and do all this shit. His normal crooked shit that he did as a businessman.
Truly normal New York real estate stuff.
This is what he does. Which also
is because, having mafia is involved.
Because you're from where? Long Island. You're from Long Island. Yeah. I'm from Queens. We knew growing up that Donald Trump
was a scumbag.
A scumbag.
Yeah.
Equated
a
to
a racist scumbag. My mom loved him because she liked casinos.
Guess what? My mom was just being like, that's a businessman.
It
was
like, he's handsome.
Yes.
I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
My mom is always with the fucking. It's like, it's real hair.
Yeah, I love the Taj Mahal.
It's just like, you classless.
You.
That's what's happened to us.
I'm like, you got to go to Vegas, mom.
I had explained to my mom that we were white trash at some point. I was like, we're white trash. She's like, no, we're not. Our stoop is always clean. And I was like, just because the stoop is clean, doesn't mean just being like, we had Mets season tickets.
Yeah, we moved like out of like a like mostly black and Hispanic town, and my dad was like, all right, we're doing great now. And then we're like, we're white trash in a different town.
We're destroying their town. Yeah. But yeah, but we knew, right? So I think what happened is that the FBI, because the way I do one thing about last podcast taught me is the way these guys all do certain shit, where the FBI and the CIA and shit like that, they don't like to share information. They like to get their own, they like to do their own shit, and they're very, very private. And the FBI is very different than the CIA, where the FBI is very thorough. Their whole thing is that they dog everybody, and they get everything on everybody.
Like, yeah, they're just like, it's like exponential increases of information. It's like, I'm in on Henry. Henry was just on High and Mighty. Now the cleaning lady came out of his house following the cleaning lady.
That shit. So Trump is just kind of fucked up this deal that they were doing. And I think that's a part of what they were saying is that they are trying not to fuck up their criminal case also. Because eventually, essentially, they viewed Trump as small beans. Eventually, it's like this thing being like, even if he was a president, technically, and which is kind of interesting is doing for this country, is being like, being president is just a job.
Right.
And now it's shown that anybody can get it.
That's what's terrifying. It's like
it's not fixed like we thought it was, which is sad for me because really on election night I was like, Hillary Clinton's fucking lizard people are gonna fix this election. It's like they're gonna fix this. They're gonna
I
make
truly
sure that she
thought
wins.
That there was like, and that's naive of me. I truly thought that there was enough machinations and power behind it that even Republicans wouldn't let Trump.
Yeah,
happen.
They just can't let him win. He's gonna ruin everything. And now what he's doing is, but it's kind of a refreshing time. In a way, I know it's that's the one thing is that me again, I'm fucking evil. But if you look at it, there is a refreshing era of it being like, look, it's true. Anybody can be president.
Right.
You do have to have a lot of money, but anybody can make a lot of money.
Right.
The Rock can figure out how to be president if he wants to be president.
He can very well make it.
Let him do it. Let him do it. He's president.
But it's just
I truly wish if I had the power, I would remove that thing that you have to be born in the United States to be, and then let Arnold Schwarzenegger
just
be president.
Let him be president.
I think it would be good, and it would appease like some of the older real fiscally conservative.
He's
Republicans.
A real Republican.
Yeah,
like so he's not out there. He's fucking fun. He's at his time in California.
He cares about other people.
He loves big asses.
I know.
He loves big. Dude. Big old butts.
Me and my buddies always talk about how the Action Boys, Stanger and Rogers, always talk about like, you're a hell of a dude if you fuck your maid and you raise the kid. And you are a major celebrity, a governor. Everyone knows you. And you're like, no, that's my son.
That's my son. That's my son.
That's huge. That is my son. That is so fucking, like that is.
That's
manly,
a man.
Yeah,
that's a man. That's what a man does. I made this child. I'm going to raise this child. And it's, I love this tiny maid woman. I am in love with her in a way. I hated Maria Shriver.
Didn't you? Yeah, are you serious?
But I always find that funny in Arnold Schwarzenegger movies that he always has a chick that thinks he's handsome. Where it's being like, he's not sexy. Right?
It's crazy. In like
he always has somebody like, ooh, being like,
He's not sexy.
That's one of our favorite tropes to talk about on Action Boys, is when Van Damme, Seagal, any one of those guys, because clearly it's all ego. They have so much control over the script at that time.
She's got to love me.
And it's literally, there's a scene in, I forget the name, I think it's, I forget which one it is, with Arnold, where the woman is like, drugged him to rob him. And when she rips open his shirt to find his wallet, she goes, oh, and like touches his pecs. And there's like, or in like the movie Twins, when the girl sees him. And so and that's also male writers, because male writers are like, that is hot.
That's what hot dudes look like right there.
He's like 6'3", 310 pounds, completely swollen.
He looks like Alfred E. Newman has been spread onto the body of a fucking wildebeest. They're supposed to think it's sexy. He's not sexy. Cigars ridden lips with like the flecks of just like burnt tobacco just stuck in between his teeth. A
completely square HGH head. You know what I mean? I think that's like men being behind the scenes in power for so long has really established like a cartoon version of what sexy males and sexy women are.
I think it helped us as men.
Oh, fuck.
Like it helped me as a dude for definite. It definitely conditioned you to just be like, if you could, like, I can get in there and just being funny. It's just like, it's like a thing. It helped me.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. Yeah.
But it is fucked up. You know, like, but it is. God, Arnold Schwarzenegger, man, just kissing him.
I would love to kiss him. God, just kissing Arnold. How fucking great would that be?
Chewing on your lips.
Licking your whole face.
Just fucking cigar in his mouth, your tongue right next to it. Just slowly singeing your beard hairs. This is an obnoxious question, maybe, but what are some conspiracies or well-known conspiracies that you believe are locks to be true, or like, or have been retroactively proven true that maybe aren't conspiracy, you know?
Well, I think that, I mean, 9/11 was allowed to happen. It was just, not that it was orchestrated by the U.S. government, but they just kind of went like, maybe it'll happen and maybe it won't.
Maybe something will happen. They don't know exactly.
They had pretty specific idea. I mean, like, they had tagged all those guys. A lot of those guys were on no-fly lists. It's like, if we actually did a 3-parter on it for last podcast and left, that the research of that, like, pretty much convinced me that Dick Cheney was a part of a think tank that essentially just said, like, if we get a disaster of any kind, we can flip it to do whatever it is that we want. It's like we can use it to essentially, but they do it pro America, just being, then we'll be able to have American influences in places where we did not have American influences.
Not to mention like a fucking complete 180 and flip around support of police, military, paramilitary.
We will never stop this war.
Right, because it only benefits the people in power.
And now we're a part of, if you look at the money flow, right, R&D for weapons development for the U.S. government, they go, they get paid to do that money. Then the things that are patented, that were created by the money, there is basically, there because of the war, they take that R&D objects and they sell it to the private market, they sell it to the corporates. And so it's basically, they're using the military as a way to sort of like make a bunch of new shit that then goes to corporations.
Yeah, the government's like, here's a million, we'll just make up numbers. The government's like, here's $1 million, develop us a new gun. Here's a new gun. Oh, this is awesome. Make us a bunch, hire a corporation. Corporation makes money. All right, these guns are done. Sell them to police.
Oh, it's like microchips and shit. So basically, right? It's stuff that they do where it's like things that technology, they basically spread it all around that. So that is thing I think is true. I also believe that the U.S. government uses child prostitutes as a secret keeping mechanism. I think that they do shit, those crazy parties like Air Fuck One and all that stuff with like when Bill Clinton was involved and all that stuff where they who took Johnny. There's a comedian, Tim Dillon, has been doing a big thing about who took Johnny recently, and like, but it's
I love Tim Dillon.
Yes,
he's a Long Island guy too. I know he's really into that world.
Yes,
too.
Of
he's
course.
Really not.
But that, I think that's completely real.
What's the who took Johnny thing?
Basically, the idea is that people that are up and comers like we are, like you'd go to like a 20 comics to watch for Comedy Central party, but it's for politicians.
Right.
And you go to these big charity events and all that stuff. And basically things would be happening in like another room. Where it would be people underage, drugs, homosexual, like homosexual activity, that kind of stuff that nobody, they are all afraid of, especially on the Republican side. And they would go and say, with these lobbyists or at these parties, eventually when these people are elected, they would like go up to them and be like, well, you're going to help us do X, Y, Z. And they say, no, we can't. And we're like, well, then we'll just tell them where you were
on X night, we'll right. get, we can just basically we
just
can
holding
on
to blackmail material.
Yes, and yeah. then and they use it for that purposes, and they've been using it for years. Because there was like even MK Ultra, that all that shit that was real. Like I mean, that was all real. The
which
the,
one's MK Ultra?
MK Ultra is the super soldier program that happened in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s, with the idea of like using LSD and hypnosis and breaking people's personalities down. In order
like
to
the Bourne stuff, the fucking yes. Captain.
This is what we use for like that was real, and a part of it was like doing stuff where they would hypnotize and drug kids and put them in the beds of dignitaries and shit to basically be like, look what we have, and then like so. I think that that's real.
That is so. I it's unfortunately so believable.
I just think that there it's a big part of it, and I think it goes to unfortunately, I think it goes to show business. I think that's a part of it too. I think it's all when you listen to, I mean, Elijah Wood was talking about that's a whole series of people that molested him, and he wasn't gonna name names, and then he didn't do it, and then Corey Feldman, he came out and he basically got paid off.
Bryan Singer is like
he's been doing some shit. Yeah. So there is stuff that's out there. They're probably to destroy our careers. Even saying it.
Right.
I mean, I don't even know if that's true. I actually don't know. I think you could reach out in the open. But there's something about using all of this shit. It's just all very... It's nasty old boy behavior that's
right.
now
it's,
getting
it's,
experienced.
It's like old school like fraternity type shit where yes. it's like, yeah, it's like we took a picture of all the pledges' cocks.
Yeah.
And so now if they fucking got, if they want to leave the frat or don't do what we say, we'll fucking post their cocks
because
in the
where do
quad.
All these guys come from?
Yeah, they come from Skull and Bones
yeah,
and Yale and
these
Princeton.
Places, so they just take the same thing. It's like high school all over again, except they just bump it up a level. They bump it up
that's,
to the next.
That's so terrifying to me.
Yes,
that's
I
so
think
terrifying.
But that's the kind of shit. That's where I would believe. And then, I do believe that the U.S. government's been going into UFOs for a long time, and I just think they don't know what it is.
You think they have some, maybe?
I think shit has shown up. I think that UFOs and abductions are mostly a psychedelic experience. It's a thing. It's personal. It's like a haunting.
Right.
A lot of it, 50% happens only to you.
Right.
Like that it can't be physicalized. It's a thing that you are, because our brains are built to be antennas
right.
for information. We're essentially like creating them 50-50. And I think there's shit like when Roswell happened, there was a thing that was there and they're like, what the fuck is this? Is this the
right.
Soviets? And they're like, don't know. And it's like even deeper people in the back, because there was that new Area 51 book. I forget who wrote it. But basically she said that it was the actual conspiracy of Area 51 is that it was mentally handicapped kids changed by plastic surgery by the Russians to create a UFO scare here, which is, think about how crazy deep it has to go. That's like, this is the real explanation. Like, they're saying that this is what it is. I mean, like, but I think aliens is a more normal.
I think, yeah. I mean, what is it like Murphy's Law? Like, maybe the most simple thing is the answer. I forget what it is. Or Occam's Razor, whatever it is. Like, whatever that expression is. I've said five different incorrect things. Six of one, half a dozen of the other. Yeah. And it's like, if the answer, it's like, no, that's definitely what happens. Like, it's actually more believable that there's extraterrestrials.
Yes, it's like at this point. But so I think they just got the shit. They don't know what it is. And so they don't know.
And they're not going to come out with what they have. And
I mean, like, we don't know what it is. It can go into our most secret. Like, it can turn on nuclear weapons. It can shut them off. It can, it buzzes us. We have thousands of the astronauts have seen them. Like, all this kind of stuff. And, like, I'm way up into my eyeballs with it right now because I'm working on an episode for last podcast. But it's like, I will fucking be this person.
Oh, that's so, I mean, I had a friend on, my buddy Tyler came on, who's like a big alien head like that too. And we sat down, we got baked, and he fucking was like going on, and I was like, I mean, how hard, like, where there's smoke, there's fire, and like, it's just like,
something's happening.
Something has happened. There's too many shared, and yes, I think like, near-death experiences and
yes.
stuff like that makes you, maybe, you don't even know, like,
there's just more reality.
Here, I'm like going to trip myself out, but like, the mind is its own universe, and it's like, you don't know, we don't fully understand what's going on in there. We don't, like, we don't know what's happening at the bottom of the deepest part of the oceans and the deepest, we don't know what's going on deep inside of our minds, because our minds are capable of crazy things.
The problem is at the very bottom of every single thing that happens is our brain.
Right.
We generate all reality.
Right.
There's no, I mean, like,
consider the source.
You can say that there is an objective reality if you want to, like the idea that I am observing things that exist. You can say that all you want,
right.
But technically we don't know.
Because shared hallucinations are a real thing.
All that shit. I have generated all reality out of my brain. God knows what we really are. Because it really comes...
Power of suggestion, you know, like hear one thing.
Yeah, I mean...
You hear about... And they're like, but so many similarities amongst these abductions. It's like, well, if one person has one and then another person has a aneurysm and doesn't realize it, and their brain reacts in a weird way, and they imagine being abducted.
Philip K. Dick did the same shit. Philip K. Dick, the sci-fi writer, he saw an entity called Valis that shot him in the head with a pink laser beam that showed him that time isn't real.
I mean, this is big. It's like a fuck. He got fucked up. Something bad happened to him.
Right. He died of a brain aneurysm 2 years later.
Right.
So there's a lot of people talking about, like, you know, well, obviously that was a symptom of it, but it's like, but what if it's like the opposite?
Yes. What if he was like, the reason he had an aneurysm is because he was shot by Valis in the head with a pink laser beam. The aneurysm beam.
He's like, I don't know what happened to him.
But it's like, I get into that very deep at some point, because then, of course, that's the constant, like, there's nothing but turtles argument of, like, I mean, well, then what is real and blah, blah, blah.
Right, because then, we're just like looping around ourselves. It's like,
but it's important to remember that in the end, we do make up a bunch of shit. We do, our brains do make up a lot of stuff.
Right. Dreams, like, why do we think dreams? And then to be fair, because we both have stuff to do
sober
after this, we are not high.
I am so
we're mostly mighty. like, dreams happen at night and are insane. How do we know that they're just done?
Don't know.
Right.
Could still be happening.
You see shit out of the corner of your eye. Yeah. Did you hear that? Wait, and whether you heard something or not, you're like, wait, maybe did I hear that?
Oh, yeah.
And all of a sudden, you're like fucking tripping, like freaking out.
When I'm deep in the middle of alien research, I have constant dreams of being abducted, right? I have these dreams where aliens are going to show up in my house and they do this stuff. It's horrible nightmares. I get them all the time. It's the only thing I still get nightmares about is
shit,
aliens.
Dude, I haven't had a nightmare in a long time.
But it's because we live normal, like, because I think it's anxiety. It's something about it.
Yeah, it's just manifesting itself in that.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
But aliens still do it to me. And then at some point, because then, you know, like Natalie, my girlfriend, somebody's like, well, you know, you say all the time about how, like, people who dream about being abducted and stuff, I mean, like, that's like them being abducted. She's like, so how do you not know that you're being abducted? And she's like, shut the fuck up.
Oh,
shut up. You shut up.
Yeah.
I was like, you check the bed.
Yeah, it's not necessarily.
If I'm ever out of the bed, you find me.
It's not necessarily dreams, it's flashbacks.
Oh, yeah, all of
that
shit.
That's terrifying.
If I just ruined my life. No, you find me.
Please.
Please,
find
you
me.
Go, you never
stop
looking for me.
I want nothing more than to be abducted. I want to believe. I think that's the X-Files.
Yes, yes.
I do believe.
Of course.
But I want to be, I need one more thing. I need a firsthand.
I am begging for it.
I know, it's so fucking crazy.
I want it so bad. And that's part of the reason why you don't get it. But then also, man, they get raped. You know? Like, that's the...
But it's bad.
It's not even like... It's nothing good about it.
Yeah, well, it's just like when you're Also, I mean, we talk about, like, ways your brain deals with trauma. I'm like, if you got raped, you might...
See an
to
alien.
To make you feel better,
well, that's
remember it as an abduction.
We did a whole episode, but you were saying molested or abducted. And the whole thing was being like, were they molested or were they abducted? And half the time, it just sounds like they were molested.
Oh, God,
or
yeah.
You go, they were like, you just go. But what they do to these guys in the spaceships is just rough. Except they always talk, like, sometimes, though, I was reading about this thing about Nordic aliens, and it's like they'll send in, like, a big-titted, sexy alien woman whose, like, face is just kind of weird, and then they'll make you hard, but so hard it hurts, but then, like, they say you come for, like, 45 minutes, like, it's like a thing where you're like, oh. So sometimes
now
it's
I
cool.
Really want that.
Like, they have these life-changing sexual experiences.
I know. I would love to come for 45 minutes and come for 15 times longer than I have sex normally.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
To me, it's like, that shit makes sense that it... I mean, if you are a fucking child and you see a bug that you've never seen before, what do? Pull its legs off,
yeah.
Fucking smush its head, lick it.
Yeah,
touch it.
Yeah, weird shit.
Yeah. And it's like, and if you pick up a fucking human and you don't know anything about it, and it's like, whoa, there's this like hole down here. It's like, all right, let's put stuff in it.
Put something in it. Yeah, see. Man, it's screaming a lot, huh? Or is it singing?
Yeah,
let's
see.
I don't know.
Yeah,
let's
is it happy or sad? We can't tell. I don't know. Let's make it come for 45 minutes.
He seemed to like it. He seems to really like it. A lot of egg scraping, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they take women's eggs.
I'm sure.
Yeah, but that's bad. They don't get anything out of that.
Right.
We get out of getting our jazz.
Women don't get off when they get their eggs scraped?
I don't think so.
Yo, baby. I always say that to my wife. Yo, baby, you want to get your eggs scraped as I climb on top of her?
Thank you. Oh, so excited.
Yeah. You want to get dug out, bitch? Yeah. It's like, excuse me?
So excited. Thank you. Thank you, husband.
I watched... It's hard to talk about conspiracies and not talk about this. I watched JFK on a plane recently for like the first time in a long time.
I haven't seen it forever.
And I ate an edible and I was like, literally,
we got to get these murderers.
I was literally like, I was sitting next. I kept turning to the guy next to me to almost just go like, we got to do something about this. I was so worked up by something that happened that I know. You know, passing information about five different ways, like
sure.
I know, like the standard shit that, like, and then all of a sudden I'm watching it and I'm like, no, that
you gotta be fucking you kidding gotta be me. Fucking... John Candy did what? Yeah. I can't believe he lived that long. I would do their latest. I really like the latest explanation, which is they were hungover on duty. So the Secret Service were out there. They had partied the night before. They were out on the thing. It's like, I guess he was like a weird dude in terms of like some presidents have closer relationships to their people than others. And he was kind of like a standoffish kind of guy, JFK. And they were out there and Lee Harvey Oswald did technically act alone. And he shot the shot, right, that went through the senator behind him and basically that it went through his body into the senator in front of him.
Right.
Not the kill shot. The kill shot happened is that they all reacted to it happening. New Secret Service dude was in the car behind JFK.
And shot
He lifted his AFKK. Yes. So they lifted his AK, which was they take the fucking safety off. So they're ready to shoot it. Car stops short. He falls back, blows the fucking president's head off. And then there was like the cover up was Secret Service trying to cover their asses.
Oh shit!
That for what happened.
So then Ruby was hired.
Ruby's a crazy person.
Oh,
so Jack Ruby was a crazy person, or maybe hired by them.
Yeah,
that would be fun. See, that would be a funner way.
Because Lee Harvey Oswald says on the trial, I shot one bullet and
Yeah, exactly.
And
like
then
I
Jack
did
Ruby's
do,
like, fuck, we got
to
clear that.
We
up.
Have to kill or this guy. I'm
Jack,
a patsy.
Or Jack Ruby is. The 50-year-ago analog to dude who shows up at Pizza Planet with a fucking gun.
Yep, possibly.
Pizzagate fucking bothers me.
It's bad.
It's very, and it's bad because it doesn't get dropped.
No, because I mean,
and they've proven it. Like they've
nothing's getting dropped anymore. Nothing gets dropped. Everybody's gonna bring. They're using it as ammo. Pizzagate's so fucking stupid because it's like I do believe in certain things. Like I don't think Podesta. Is necessarily the coolest dude on the face of the planet.
No, I don't think necessarily Hillary is that fucking is a fucking beacon of good light.
I don't think so either. But I do think that it's one of those where it covers the things that I really. If you watch Who Took Johnny and that kind of shit that happens, where it's like that there's real shit happening that's so semi sort of like what this is, and you're just fucking writing this because InfoWars was just using it for money,
right?
You mean
and that's the other thing too is like people just. Fucking, I hate to be fucking libtard quoting John Oliver, but that John Oliver thing about Alex Jones where he's like, hot, like the shit that he sells is a direct, like a direct effect of the stuff he's, it's almost like someone who just stands
he's
up.
He's creating the problem and then selling the solution to the problem.
And it feels like, how are people not picking up on that?
Because it's just you're into it. I mean, like, I've gotten to InfoWar holes very deep down into it. It's kind of fun. You go through it and so you look at all this shit. Technically, he's just serving his base. The problem is, that, again, is just being like they're just allowed to be as quote-unquote legitimate as anybody else when technically it's like, to me, I've always looked at InfoWars before all of this shit happened with Trump. None of this was real.
Right.
InfoWars was never supposed to be real. It was just supposed to be funny and dumb, and you go and watch, look at that's where you got your conspiracy theory shit.
Yeah.
And it was a fun time to be on there. It was a prison planet. It was other website. Listening to him was fun. Now he can call the president, and it stopped being fun.
Yeah,
because
and
now
then
it's all
also,
legitimized, and it never should have been.
And then it feels like a lot of these like ideologies are like coming together, like. I don't remember conspiracies and InfoWars being so anti-Semitic or so pro-white.
No, they're pumping it up.
Yeah, and then it's like, it feels like they're like, hey, guess what? The alt-right likes, or whoever this new faction of people is, they like InfoWars, they like these conspiracies, but they also are sort of like white supremacist light for now.
Yes.
Maybe we should hit them with a little bit of like,
shade.
Yeah, they go, like, here's what, you know, minorities are up to, immigrants, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, you're giving me, you're hitting both of my G-spots.
They are, yeah. They have a new correspondence, a young black girl that does a bunch of shit for them that is kind of wild. Like, they have this basically saying that the left is trying to create a race war using Antifa, and like, and these, like, all this stuff, and you're like, it's fucking, like, it fucks with your head. You watch it, but only because when I used to watch it, I was just watching it for my show. I was watching it for last podcast. It was fun to go
just
through
to
it.
Hear, oh, what is this crazy lunatic?
Well, it's kind of fun to hear a new soundbite.
Well, it used to be funny to, like, talk to your weird uncle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it used to be fun to be like, right, all right, what do you believe? Oh, okay, really, huh?
Oh, yeah.
And now it's not fun anymore.
No, because legit. They took it away from me. That's what I got taken from me in this election. A lot of people got a lot of stuff taken from them.
Way
I
worse,
got conspiracy theory, of course.
Right.
I got conspiracy theory taken from me.
Right, and now it's like a negative thing, and it's like, well, fuck. Someone just tweeted, and this is like such a minor analog, but someone tweeted something the other day that was like, you used to be able to have a conversation about movies. Now it's only about whether it's objectively good or bad.
Yes.
And I feel like that idea of, like, lines in the sand being drawn has permeated every single thing that happens.
Advertising companies did it to us because they have this idea that you are either on a no camp or a yes camp, because it's easy to put you in those camps.
Right.
Middle grounds where you just talk about art are just ridiculous. They're making, you know what I mean? Like, not to be, this is where I start getting on my fucking old man on top in a bathtub screaming at people, where it's just being like, superhero movies are now McDonald's food for your brain. It's just this thing where it's just made to just, like, fill time.
Yeah.
It's this weird, the fact
and
that,
it sells, and you get 2 million views of the trailer.
What?
Of the teaser to the trailer. You can turn a movie
satisfaction
into.
Satisfaction does a group of fans get out of knowing every single movie that's going to come out for the next 12 years?
Nothing.
What do you have to look forward to? You know all of it. You know every single thing that's happened. There's no surprises. They tell you every single thing that's going to happen every single time. You just start, you're just sitting there just like,
I wish
food cubes.
People are going to see Star Wars and going to see Avengers no matter what.
Sure.
Why not? Wouldn't it be fucking dope if a Star Wars movie just came out, like, Beyonce style?
Blew your mind. Well, what's it? The guys from Hatchet. You ever seen Hatchet?
No.
Hatchet fucking rules. It's a good horror movie. There's three of them, and it's like Jason, but like a new kind of thing where he's this mutated dude. There's a lot of sweet fucking kills in it. And it's great.
Oh, shit, yeah.
And they just dropped a fourth one. They were like, we're not even telling anybody, and they just dropped this prequel to the whole thing.
Well,
I was
sort
like, that's
of
smart.
Like, the Cloverfield sequel sort of did that.
Yes.
Like, people were like, wait, what? And like, you kind of heard about it coming out, but not until like a month before it came out.
Just like a way how movies, I mean, you know, it's just kind of how it used to be done, where a movie just kind of wasn't all supposed to be these tentpole gigantic events of things that you're supposed to do. Because now these movies are supporting all these other lines
toys
of the entertainment
and
industry
and, yeah,
and blogs and all the people that
and,
are all serving at the middlemen,
Access Hollywood,
Talking
and,
Dead,
yeah, yeah,
like all these things that kind of all come out of the fandom of it. They've learned how to monetize the whole thing, which is actually very smart on their back, and it's been really good for certain things.
It's cool for fans to be able to go like, I want to talk about Walking Dead even more. I want to get even more Walking Dead. How about Fear of the Walking Dead? How about
it's
the
so
comic? How about this book? How about this the comic that's based on the show, not the show that's based on the comic?
Yeah.
How about The Talking Dead? How about we get together? Oh, you got to go to the Walking Dead ARG game. You got to go to the Walking Dead
cha-ching,
this.
Cha-ching,
yeah.
Cha-ching,
and it is smart because it's like when something's a huge takeaway. I mean, we've always done that where it's
of
like,
course, yes,
it's like McDonald's. People really liked this dish. It's like, well, what about this meal? It's like, oh, that's equal. We like that too. It's like, okay, here's a slight variation on it. You like that?
Yeah.
More. Yeah. And it feels fucking crazy. You know, we're tiptoeing into like sheep, you know, we're about to get there.
Yeah. And it's not that, because there are things I watch just to entertain myself all the time.
I think that watching a movie to shut your brain off is not a problem.
It's a part of what you're supposed to do.
Right. Yeah.
It's a part of what I'm just saying the satisfaction. It's just a weird thing of like your next 12 years of movies are planned.
Right.
It's this weird thing of it. It sort of feels like on the psychic end of it, like we got you for 12 years. We know exactly what you're going to do, and exactly what you're going to, like, all the time. You can always do this. We've now told you what you're going to do.
And as a matter of fact, I bet you for five in a row, you're going to go, yeah, they weren't that great.
You're like, okay.
Yeah, and then still go see them.
No, of course, because you want to see the street, because you're a part of the community now.
Yeah.
But it's just something about feeling like you have no choice.
And you don't want to be left out when people are talking about
yes.
it. Did you see Rogue One? When I saw Rogue One with a buddy, the same buddy that I saw the new the Force Awakens with, and he was like, so I guess at minimum we'll see each other every year around December 19th. And I was like, oh my God, that's an insane sentence.
Yes.
That's an, and it's a now a reality.
Well, yeah, because now they engineered the whole full thing. They just,
and they're going to be like, this is not stopping.
Well, they also will talk about stuff how, like, they make a big deal about how this was like one of the lowest grossing movie years of ever, like, of all time this year. But then they also say on the other side, I don't know if it's PR spins or not, of like, they were planning on this dip. That's kind of what they do, is that now that's why they're planning 15 years ahead, because they plan on being like, because next year we're going to have Star Wars, or we're going to have this thing and this thing. We want to make sure we have enough money to do this year. And there's going to be, so this year was just like Skull Island.
Yeah. I could be way
ruled.
I loved it.
And I will say War for the Planet of the
War for the Planet. The most recent Apes was fucking,
that's
cool as hell.
Arguably one of the best movies of the year.
Yes, dude.
I got emotional.
I fucking wept. It was fucking awesome.
That was a good movie.
I fucking love that movie. Here's a weird, and I could be way wrong. I think part of the fun of Star Wars, the originals, is that they existed as this trilogy, and then for 20 years, it was sort of like, have you guys seen Star Wars?
Yeah.
And it's sort of like, whoa, what is this?
There wasn't new,
like,
content
cool.
coming in more, and it was right. over.
Right, it was over, and you can get it. That's why I got out of comic books, because I really liked, I have a friend and he has the best, he's like, I read graphic novels on the train ride home, but I only buy graphic novels of books that have an ending.
Yes, because then I'm doing this forever.
Right. And it's like a weird, and of course that's what they want as
I know, but
providers.
I don't want to do anything forever.
No.
At some point, I get sick of something.
Right.
Like, I do get sick. I'll get sick of stuff. It's like the closest I've ever had to doing something forever is being a UFO enthusiast, because I've been in my entire life. But it's also like a thing where it's like, that's technically,
you get tired of it.
I do. Yeah. There is a lot of stuff.
Right.
I have like hangover. I do have burnout
right.
when it comes to the show. And
like, I know at some point, and it's going to be, and if you would have told 15-year-old Gabrus, at some point you're going to go, you know what? Forget going to see Star Wars. Let's just hang out tonight.
Exactly.
Yeah, and like,
can you imagine that? Hearing that there's a new Star Wars and your reaction is not just, what? Oh my fucking God. When I was a kid, when Phantom Menace came out, I remember just being like, ah, like
I cut school and waited in line.
We did all the same thing. Our principal let us go.
Oh.
There's a good, yeah.
I had a fucking, on my backpack, I had a piece of loose leaf that said, starting at 20 days till new Star Wars. And the next day I wore 19. Next day I counted down. I was like fucking ridiculed. I was so, fuck, dude. That was, I think that week, what is that, May 19th, 1999 or whatever?
1999, yeah.
I think that fucking week in that movie has like, was what prepared me to be in the entertainment business. Where it was just like, I'm so excited. Holy shit. Is this my fault for building it up too much? Or is this actually objectively bad? I don't know.
Yeah.
But I shouldn't get excited for things I like anymore.
It is really, it is a thing that
and
taught.
It actually trained my brain to be able to handle going like, oh man, if I got this job, this would be huge. I would make a lot of money. I would love it. I like the people involved. This would
everything.
Be cool. This
check,
could potentially
check,
change my
check.
Life.
Yeah.
But I'm not allowed to be
enjoy
excited.
It.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I don't like when it comes to work, it was the same thing too, where it's like, you're really only allowed to enjoy about 24 hours. If you book it, you have that day to like yourself.
Right. And then,
it's over.
And then
it just ends.
And honestly, and it maybe hasn't even happened until it airs.
Yo, yeah, you don't know.
You can cut out of a fucking thing. Like, the more you hear those horror stories of like, yeah, you booked a pilot, they loved it.
Hated
you,
though.
It's going to be an 8 out of 10 episodes. Now they're switching it, and you're not in any. It's
yes.
Like, oh,
no, it's brutal. It is very brutal. But no, it's been a long time, and a part of it is that the PTSD. I think maybe of that movie, of what it did to me in terms
yeah.
of like, and I do have a really hard time of enjoying certain things.
Of looking
holy.
Looking very forward to something is
the
very
closest
different.
I have had that to currently is Stephen King's It. The new It.
It does look dope, too.
I think that they did it right, because Dark Tower makes me want to attack the White House.
And I've never seen, I never don't see a movie. I almost see everything.
I read all, it was my favorite book series of all time.
Ugh.
It makes me want to drive a car into the mall and just start taking stores and people out. Like, it wants, makes me
That's
just,
how bad it was.
It's just what
And you have
did.
Idris Elba and McConaughey and you don't pull it off. That's like,
it's
awful.
Like,
yeah.
It's how little they think of us. That's what that movie is. I watch it and be like, that is the direct disdain that the entertainment industry has for me as a human being.
Dude, you just made me remember. I was super baked when I watched it, but I watched that The New King Arthur with, what's his name?
One
the
of fuck, them.
The guy from Sons of Anarchy, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And Guy Ritchie directed it. And
wow, it was Guy Ritchie?
Yeah.
What?
And it's bad.
Yeah.
And it's really bad. And there's like
Do you remember when Guy Ritchie was like the shit?
He was.
Fucking Snatch was great. Snatch was great.
Lock, Stock is good too.
Yeah.
But even some of his later shit was fun. Like, this movie was so bad. And I'm a nut job for fucking anything with swords and shields and magic. Like, that's my entire life is epic fantasy. And I love Arthurian legend, and I even love the fucking Antoine Fuqua King Arthur with Clive Owen is like one of my favorites.
Interesting.
It's a very good movie.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, the thing about a King Arthur movie is because it's a what's it called when it's so old you can use it all the time, like
the thing, whatever. It's like Shakespeare. And
yeah,
stuff,
it's like Shakespeare, so you can like. There's no rights to it, so you keep adapting it. So King Arthur is guaranteed to like come out every 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, because they
and
have
it's
to.
Going to so, be swords and shields and magic and monsters and wizards.
So what they do bad?
It's shot like Guy Ritchie's it up a little bit too much. The dude is why can't I remember his name? It's like my wife's crush, Jax Teller, whatever. It's so fucking bad, and I'm like. I'm very upset, and I rarely think a movie's really bad because I like enjoy watching a movie for 2 hours.
Me too. It's like I just will watch. I pretty much will watch anything.
Yeah.
There's very few things where I watch things specifically because they're bad, because it'd be kind of fun. I'll watch dumb shit all the time.
I'll watch something really bad and then be redeemed by one cool scene or one awesome song.
Yeah,
choice
you just
or,
like movies.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And then it just never redeemed itself for me, and I was like, oh man. And they introduce a bunch of characters. And then I look on IMDb and I'm reading through, and you know, IMDb trivia is take it or leave it. But one of the things was planned first of 7 movies.
What?
And then that's what I said. I was like, okay, that's what's going to ruin this business.
7 is, King Arthur films?
Yeah, or like the shared universe.
Of
like,
what? I guess Merlin.
A Lancelot movie, a Merlin origin story. Oh, no. Exactly. Exactly. And I think, and we're getting into that. It's like Marvel. First of all, guys, Marvel is built on comics, which is already a shared universe.
That is what they do. Yeah. That's what they do. And so they're just trying to flip the big money up because comics just don't make anybody money. And so,
but then like it's like, no. You have to make one good movie before. And that's what I think Dark Tower kind of like is probably
but
like.
They're locked in.
Right.
They have a whole TV show that's coming out.
Yeah.
They're doing all this shit. And I was looking at me like, this is just a mistake.
Right, and it's all because they fucking go ape shit. Like, right, they're like, oh, this is going to be the thing that saves our company and blah, blah, blah. We're going to do 10 of these. And it's like, oh, this was bad. You need to be able to fucking cut the cord and move on.
I actually wonder what's going to happen with Netflix. They're going $20 billion into debt to make all this new content. And it's like, the problem is that 1 in 4 shows that come out on Netflix just disappear.
Right. And also, what are they going to do? Turn around and go, all right, well, it's no longer $10.99 a month. It's now $24.99 a month.
And people are going to eventually start getting pissed off.
And to be fair, we're giving you a ton. And they are giving you a ton of shit. I sometimes say to myself, it's crazy how cheap Netflix is for what you get for it.
Exactly. But that's what they want. And the idea is now we're going to slowly.
Yep. And they're like, what? We keep giving you more and more stuff. Now we're doing originals. You should be able to.
You like originals, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Don't you fucking Gabrus? You fucking hog.
I actually hate that. Netflix used to be where I went to
see my
see
old
movies. Yeah.
My favorite old movies.
Oh shit, cool. Yeah. And then it was like,
oh
yeah, and now
they, honestly, I'm very saddened. I think it's because they're maybe making certain things. I love Shudder.
What?
Shudder, the movie app, the horror movie app?
No.
It's all
know.
Horror movies.
Oh shit.
It's fucking great.
I need to get into one of those. Like, I'm sure the more and more. And here's the proliferation of niche stuff is like so great in a one way, and like I can't wait until there's an app where it's like this is action movies from 1979 through 1991.
I'll watch all of them.
Yeah, I'm like, I've seen all of them. I'll rewatch all of them. I'll pay $5 a month for it.
Who gives
a
shit?
I got fucking Best of the Best on DVD sitting right there. I have DVDs still. Yeah, Predator 2, Conan, RoboCop 2. None of them opened.
That's awesome.
I just buy movies and I'm like, I gotta see this again.
You and Ed Larson are very similar. Ed Larson does the same thing where he just buys. He's like still the dude who's got a fuck ton of Blu-rays. I'm getting back into Blu-rays because it's kind of fun. I like the quality.
Right. Because I have a storage space with like 3 Rubbermaid bins full of DVDs.
That's incredible.
One summer when I was like 20, 21, living on Long Island, I was a Jones Beach lifeguard making $17 an hour as a 21-year-old, and I was bartending 2 nights a week.
Fuck.
And bringing home like $500 cash.
You're loaded. That's loaded.
I'm truly loaded. I'm living at my mom's house. The only money I'm spending on is fucking egg sandwiches and Gatorades every morning to deal with the hangover from the money I spent on alcohol the night before. But then I'm going once a week to Best Buy and buying 10 movies.
Yep.
And I'm going to the bin where it's $4 movies.
Yep.
So I this have one, like this an one. Unopened road to perdition. You know what I mean? I have so many fucking garbage movies. Because I used to rent movies all the time, and then I would never get them back in time, and then it would end up costing me $8.
Did you
so
ever
I'm like,
work
for 12, I can keep it forever.
You ever work at a video store?
No.
I worked because at Hollywood Video for 2 years.
Oh, the dream.
It was just the best.
I wanted that job so bad, but like I had the best job a high school lifeguard. It's the best job
you're
a high school
kid can have. You just be like everyone's half nude.
I'm working where everyone goes for fun.
Yeah.
And I'm outside and I'm making, because it's a skilled position, I'm making good money.
$17 an
hour? I started when I was 16 years old, and I think my starting rate was before I was a Jones Beach guard, which was real money, when I was just working at pools, I think I was getting $14 an hour.
Fuck.
And I was working 48 hours a week, and 8 of those hours were overtime. So I was
That's incredible.
Paid. Yeah, I'm fucking 16 years old, and I'm going into my senior year of high school, and I have like $9,000 in the bank.
That's
from
incredible.
I don't have $9,000 in the bank now, and I have 7 seasons of MTV shows.
I think I made $5.75 an hour at Hollywood Video. And the big thing is like, you can get all the videos that you want,
and that's all that works.
I mean, that's what I mean.
I would love to open a fucking video store someday.
This is the dream. That my new dream, Henry's Occult. Bookstore, wherever as I end up, I'm just gonna run a bookstore because I'm with that. With not to sound like a fucking that sounds weird, but I'm like that with books. I have piles and piles and piles of books all over my house. I'm one of those people. I collect
Same
them.
Here, I buy this in my to read list.
I love all this shit. Yeah. I love it everywhere. But of course, all my shit's evil. None of it. I need to start getting some normal books because it's just all UFOs.
I've actually
like,
switched
what
to.
They know.
I've actually trying to do currently one fiction, one nonfiction.
It's good.
Because I'll read like 15 Robert Jordan's Wheel of Time series.
Yes.
Like,
is it good to get into?
No.
So don't do it.
I wouldn't do it. If you want fantasy recommendations, I got like 3 of my favorite series of all time.
I just read City of Stairs, which was pretty good.
I never read that one.
That was a new one that Marcus Parks from last podcast, because he's also a big fantasy head.
Shit, holy shit.
And Name of the Wind is also, that was pretty fucking
good.
That's
Patrick Rothfuss.
Yes, that's pretty.
That's the Kingkiller Chronicles.
Yes.
That would be one of my recommendations.
Okay, cool.
Because that is... Those are my. It's only 2 of the trilogy. That's one of my favorites. The other one, I'll give you book 1 of one of the series I love right now.
Yeah. I need a new one. Yeah. I need a new. I need like a series. I need like a series.
Dude, I mean, I could talk to you for 2 hours, and maybe we should do it at another time.
I would do another. Yeah. This is so much fun, man.
But let's wrap this shit up. Let's go about our days. Henry, where can people find you online? So I always ask people to tweet at us conspiracies or
whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tweet at
insults
us. Let us know.
Come at me with any sort of theories that you have, things you want me to explore on my podcast or back on this show.
Yeah.
Come back and talk about other bullshit.
Right.
You can find me on Twitter at Henry Loves You, and also at LP on the left for my podcast. That's
on
Twitter.
Check out Last Podcast on the left if you're at all interested in this stuff.
This is my horseshit.
Yeah.
Because this is my life. I walk the walk, and it is a sad little
He
walk.
Is that guy.
I,
you
it's
are
bad.
That.
It's
yeah.
bad.
Yeah.
It's bad for me. It's bad for my love and my relationships. So come and listen to the show.
Please.
I'm watching you. Please. Watch Your Pretty Face Going to Hell. Ask for more of it. All the time.
What? Where are we at now? Is it like about to come out?
I don't know.
Okay.
The second half of the first half of our newly shot season 4 is going to come out at some point.
Oh, okay, cool. So
yes,
get
and, and if you're in Los Angeles, come out to the October 28th El Rey. We're doing a Halloween charity event for our Last Podcast on the Left.
Oh,
hosted
awesome.
By Last Podcast on the Left and Natalie Jean.
Oh, Dope. And I think I may be doing something.
That would be pretty sweet if you want to. That would
be
awesome.
Fucking down. Right. I'm, as always, I'm at John Gabris on Twitter. No H in John or Gabris. I am buy a high and mighty shirt at Gabris.com/shirts. More shirts coming soon. I'm working on designs right now. And yeah, that's about all I got going on. Oh, listen to Action Boys. Join the Patreon.
Yeah, dude.
And I'll see you motherfuckers around.
Yeah, hail Satan.
Hail Satan. Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.